KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Hey, tomorrow on ABQ Connect, the Rio Grande Foundation, Paul Gessing will be in studio for the full hour. So we're sure to cover plenty of issues in the next couple of days. Friday, of course, our Heritage Foundation update, our Friday financial update with Brian Cochran at Associates, New Mexico Medal of Honor, and Mother's Day segment about a wreath that's available. And we're going to speak to the author who celebrating 50 years of this Bible study put together and finding hope in those broken relationships, specifically moms and daughters. So make sure you're tuned in on Friday's broadcast. If you have not found this or put this on your calendar yet, please do. Freedom Celebration every year is a great opportunity for family fun, praising the Lord, and hearing the message of real freedom in Christ delivered by Skip Heitzig, that message. It's on the calendar, June 28th at Expo New Mexico. It's free to attend. We hope you'll make plans to be there. Families can enjoy the fun zone. There'll be a car show, food trucks, extreme sports, and like every year, music. You know, God willing, we'll hear from Police and Passion, featuring Christian Stanfill. Passion, what a rich history of worship music. I mean, I'm thinking going back to Charlie Hall and Chris Tomlin in his early days, the Knuckles from Watermark. You may remember them. But Christian picking up that mantle, and he and the team from Passion will be here before Jeremy Camp takes the stage. It's going to be a great evening of music. Most importantly, of course, the gospel message we'll hear from Skip Heitzig. And then one of New Mexico's best fireworks displays, all at Expo New Mexico, Saturday, June 28th. The Fun Zone opens at 4 o'clock, and usually around 6, 6:30, the stage gets underway. And you know, I left out Calvary MSC. They'll be performing worship as well, getting the, you know, kind of starting off the music evening. But freedomabq.com is where to go to get the details. Share that link with someone. And actually, you know what? Go to freedomabq.com. Share it on your social media and get the word out about this free event coming to Expo New Mexico June 28th. All right. Enough said for now. Carla Sontag in studio with us. And I mentioned we'll be, you know, talking about policy and I don't know what the plan is for tomorrow with Paul Gessing, but I really like today taking some time to look forward to the mayoral election and some of the inner workings of how these elections, you know, come to be and candidacy and funding. And this is a good education. This is like a civics class, Carla, you've prepared. Really? You know, if you're homeschoolers or public schoolers or private schoolers are missing this, watch for the archived show at abqconnect.online. But no, this is quite honestly an education. I told you in an email earlier today, an education to me. You know, I just show up, you know, I don't just show up at the polls. I you know, when we get down to the candidates, you know, by then I've chosen and I've done my due diligence to listen to different people that are in my life that know things more than I do and keep me informed. And actually, Carla, at the website, whether it's bettertogethernewmexico.org or NM Biz Coalition, both places you can go as we approach any of the elections, but, you know, as the mayoral election is on the radar now, I'm sure people will find more information.
Yes, we will be highlighting all of the candidates to help people make a better decision. We have drafted a questionnaire. It's short, 10 questions, but we're going to send that to all the candidates and get some feedback on some things that they may or may not be posting on their websites.
Do you usually get answers?
We have a pretty good response rate.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Some of them are advised by their campaign people not to answer questions because they don't want to be held to that. But we've got the questions are general enough. We're asking philosophically. We're not asking to hold their feet to the fire. However, if they state something on our questionnaire, we look to them if they get elected, that that is how they're going to lead.
Right. It's so, a reference to go back to and hold accountable.
Yes. Accountability is important.
Yeah. For those who wouldn't respond to the questions based on the advice of their campaign people, I don't know, reminds me a lot of what we saw for several years here federally, on a federal level. Like or love either, of our current president or last president, the contrast in availability and being able to get questions answered, it speaks volumes to me. I don't know how important that is to others, which, by the way, others, let me address them. And with your permission, Carla, I'm going to leave the phone lines open if people have a
That'd be great.
Question as we go through the civics lesson. If you want to call in and contribute to today's broadcast with a question, a comment, if you like, I would encourage you in this Ephesians 4:29, call with words of encouragement and that others will be uplifted by what they hear from you. When you call in 505-338-5790, the way you raise your hand in the class, just call in.
Yes.
505-338-5790. And Tayshaun will take care of that, get you on the air with us to address whatever issue or question you might have. And since I mentioned Tayshaun, a real behind-the-scenes guy, has just been steadfast in making sure the show's engineered well and gets us on the air. And when there's hiccups and things that you may not even be aware of, jumps right in. So thank you, Tayshaun, for getting us on the air and making this happen. And we look forward, hopefully, to having folks call in again at 505-338-5790. Okay, so the election, November 5th, that's a very familiar date. Was that last year, right? Was the general election, I think it was November 5th. But that'll be the date of our mayoral election. There's 11 candidates.
Yes.
Sorting through them. Is this unusual to have this many candidates?
Yes.
Okay.
But, it's kind of an indication of where people are with the current mayor running for a third term. People are a little bit used to two terms and you say goodbye, except in the legislature, they don't have term limits. But in other races like this, but it is allowed, and it's been for a while, that a mayor candidate can run for a third term. But I think people are not satisfied with that. So that's why they are lining up to run, and it's going to be interesting. We've got some interesting candidates. 11 is a lot. And so what's going to happen if they don't get 50% plus one vote, so they're just slightly over the halfway point, there will be a runoff between the top two candidates. And that's highly likely to happen with this many people splitting the vote.
Yeah, and do you anticipate even before we get to November 5th, we'll see dropout? Is there maybe a percentage or... you expect all of these names will be on the ballot November 5th?
No.
Okay.
No. And because I think what's going to happen, there are going to be some of them that are going to have a difficult time qualifying.
Right.
There's different measures for qualification. We've got 7 of the 11 candidates that are running for publicly financed positions. It's a lot of money. It's almost $756,000 will go to each candidate who qualifies. That's a lot of taxpayer money in this race. But we don't know if all 6 will qualify. They've got to gather $5 from 3,780 registered voters in the city of Albuquerque. And there's a lot of people that are hesitant to do that. They just don't want to give to candidates. So that plus the sheer number.
Why are they why do you think they're hesitant? And it's $5. I mean, that's a cup of coffee. Why are they? And I'll tell you, I haven't done that yet. why are they hesitant?
Well, your name goes on a list and it's that, you know, it will be fully disclosed. I don't know. It's $5. It's not the money. It's the disclosure. Yeah.
When you do that, when you sign a petition, say, hey, yeah, they should be on the ballot, right?
Uh-huh.
And give the $5. Is that exclusive to one candidate?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason, too. You know, somebody at this point may say, well, you know, there's two or three that I really like. And yeah. if I get behind one and they don't make it, then I will have backed somebody that didn't win.
Okay. And so, well, say someone backs out. Are you... too late. Your signature and your $5 went to that candidate that's out. You're out. The ones that are still in.
That's right. And actually the money, so if the candidate backs out for whatever reason, the money that they have collected goes to the city. It doesn't go to other candidates or to the race.
I wonder how many people are just like, and I understand, you know, the intention is to go to a race, but the chance that more money would go to the city. They're not they may not feel like they're managing what they have now well.
Yeah, it should be going into the bucket of money that goes then to the candidates for public financing. Yeah. But it definitely does not follow the candidate if he or she drops out.
Interesting. So that's public finance qualifying donations. And that is already, well, I know it's already underway. How long has that been underway? And how long does it, they have until... June 21st to
right.
complete that.
Right, and it started April 19th, so they've only got 2 months to do this. And that's a lot, again, because of the sheer number that are running. Yeah. And I think some of the candidates have already been surprised.
Yeah, and we're less than 2 months.
Yes.
Have any of them achieved what they need to be on the ballot?
Okay. From the last report that I have seen, no. And I think some of them are kind of shocked because they thought they'd come out of the gate. They would have very little competition. They would get their signatures and the money really quick. And that's not happening. So it's going to be a hard.
Listen, we're already up against the break. So we're going to take a break. If you just tuned in, we're visiting with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. That's nmbiz.org and Better Together New Mexico, all spelled out. .org as well. And you can go to those websites to find out more about the organizations that Carla oversees and works with so many hardworking folks to bring you the information we're bringing to you today. And we took a quick glance at what it means to be a public finance qualifying candidate and get those donations. We may have some more on that, but we'll move forward on the mayoral elections coming up November 5th and these 11 candidates when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, we'd like to keep you updated on things happening around town. Calvary Chapel New Harvest in Los Lunas is preparing for a women's luau down there in Valencia County. That's coming this Friday night at 6 o'clock. Listen, it's a free event for women of all ages, so bring your friends, ladies. Come out and enjoy a night filled with delicious food, uplifting worship, and meaningful fellowship. There's award-winning prizes for the silliest and most creative lays, as well as for the best dressed. And have you ever been to a luau, Carla?
I have.
I went to one. And I'd go to another one, but I don't have to.
Yeah.
We were in Hawaii, and the show was great. The food was
Yeah, I agree. You know. Especially if you try the poi.
Yeah. But I mean, I could imagine you go someplace where it's very gourmet, very, you know, much more than what I had.
Yeah.
But I was in Hawaii. And you know what's cool about this one coming up in Valencia County, which, by the way, go to their website at Calvary, NHLL. I'll get the website here in just a minute because the one that I have is a little, it's a mouthful. I want to get you an easy one. Just if you do a search for Calvary Chapel New Harvest Los Lunas, you'll find the details about the women's luau. What's a little different about this is the one I went to didn't have worship music. That's kind of cool. Anyway, we'll keep listening for details or just do your search for Calvary New Harvest in Los Lunas. And what a great event for the ladies coming up, especially with Mother's Day coming up. this weekend. So Carla is here with the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico. That's nmbizcoalition.org and bettertogethernewmexico.org. We started with talking about the 11 candidates that are out there for the mayoral election coming up November 5th, which will be here. You know, we'll turn around and it'll be here. They're collecting right now signatures to get on the ballot, as well as donations of $5. And there's a, you know, they need 3,780 qualifying donations of $5 each to secure more financing, right, from the city to be in this race. And that they're doing that through June 21st. Now, Carla, how about we started with the public finance qualifying donations, like I just mentioned. Who's running in under that heading?
So under the public financing, and the reason that we're going to name all the candidates, if you hear a name of somebody that you like or you would like to see be mayor, then you should get engaged with them because they need the help. You can find them at their website. And if you can't find a website at this point, that should be a red flag for you. Because if they're running a campaign that is going to see them through this election to possibly be mayor, you want to know that they can manage their campaign before they go on to manage the city.
Agreed. That would that would be a yellow, orange, or red flag for
me. Yes. So the candidates, the seven candidates that are seeking public financing right now, Eddie Varela, a retired firefighter, Darren White, former sheriff, Tim Keller, the current mayor, Luis Sanchez, currently city councilor, Alpana Adair, I don't know that person, Alexander Ubaez, he's a former U.S. attorney, and Adeo Herrick. Those are the seven that are seeking public financing, so they need the $5 donations and the signature. And then we've got, there are four candidates currently that are seeking to get on the ballot. They need 3,000 signatures, but they're not seeking the $5 donation. They're going to be privately financed, and that's Mayling Armijo. She has been in, she's worked for the city and done some things in economic development. Patrick Seiss, Brian Fayer, and Daniel Chavez. They don't have any limit on fundraising or spending. They can do whatever they want. They do have a limit on individual, corporate, or entity contributions of $6,000. So up to that amount, they can collect from as many people as they want, and they can put in as much of their own money as they want and spend whatever they want. So publicly financed, if they get that $755,946, then they cannot collect other money. They can't do other fundraising.
So do you want to prognosticate how many people might bail before the election and whether or not someone here may get 50% of the vote the first run through?
I honestly don't believe anybody's going to get 50% on the first go.
Okay, whether people drop out or not.
Right. I think there's going to be a runoff. Dropout, I think we're going to see, 20% attrition at least. And the other thing, if some of these people don't get the signatures, they may try to run as a write-in candidate. They can always do that. But that's kind of a futile point in this race to
ever,
think that.
Ever happened in Albuquerque history?
Not on this race.
Yeah.
And in the state of New Mexico, we have had write-in candidates go pretty far, but you're not going to see it in a race like this with 11 candidates, and no matter how many are left standing.
So again, it takes 50% of the vote to win, and if one candidate doesn't get to 50%, runoff is held between the top two vote-getters. One of them, there's only going to be, at the most, two times going to the polls for this.
Yes, Yes. And then they'll have to do a special election. And so this election is going to be extremely costly to taxpayers when you're talking $756,000 to several candidates who will likely qualify.
That's about $10 million.
Yeah. And then you've got the cost of the election plus the cost of the runoff election. So this is a...
Well, now, so that estimate, close, $10 million, that's for November 5th. Is there more money after November 5th for a runoff?
I don't believe so. I think they have what they have, and then we go back to the polls and select between those two.
Then it's going to be interesting to see, yes, the strategery of holding some back for a runoff.
Yeah. And so we named the candidates because it's really, this is a really, really important race, not just for Albuquerque, but as you can see, Albuquerque definitely needs a boost because we're in a world of hurt when it comes to crime and drugs and things like that. We need
That'd be
to
nice
get
to
that
send,
addressed.
Send the National Guard home, right?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Get our police force back on the streets and in force.
Just saying.
So if you heard a name that you like or you want to support, this is the time to engage because they need the help. It's going to be tough to get all these signatures.
Okay, so we mentioned the public finance qualifying donation candidates. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, it's actually we're a little early for a break, but before we move on to our next point, it'd be a good time to take a break and come back and give us a tease about what we'll be talking about here in the next segment, Carla.
Well, I think we're going to talk about a decision that the city council just recently made and how it impacts Albuquerque when it comes to homeless and helping the homeless.
Okay. It's clearly an issue, more so than I've ever seen it, ever. I think I arrived in Albuquerque first in 1971. And I've been gone, you know, a little bit, but for the most part, yeah, I've watched the city grow and I've watched this issue, I would say in the last 5 years, for sure, it's just exploded. An issue that needs to be addressed, and we'll find out more when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for joining us. Carla Sontag in with us for the full hour. Tomorrow, by the way, I already mentioned Paul Gessing coming in from the Rio Grande Foundation. I haven't got our topics for tomorrow yet, but I will. Paul is always real good about sending them, so I'm kind of interested to see if we're going to cover any of this tomorrow as well and get Paul's perspective. But Carla, I told you off the air, I'll say it on the air, I value your insight and the work that your people do to educate us that don't take the time like you and Better Together New Mexico and New Mexico Business Coalition do to have us well informed before we go vote November 5th, which, by the way, I'll say it again, as I did before the general election. If you're not registered, please get registered to vote. If you can find a place that's not, anyway, a place that's not burned down, you know, that has been attacked. And
well, you can register at the DMV if you go in and do anything with your vehicle or driver's license.
Yeah, and I forget. Now, you brought that up. Did that go through where you get a license and you're registered to vote whether you're a citizen or not?
Well, supposedly they have safeguards on that. They flash a warning that you're supposed to be a citizen. I have concerns about how it's going to be monitored and what they're doing. I mean, because we wholesale give anybody a license.
Yeah.
And so that is of concern, but we got to hope that they're doing it right.
Well, if you missed our conversation on the mayoral election coming up November 5th, this will be archived hopefully later this afternoon. You can go to abqconnect.online and hear that conversation, actually our first two segments. And now you mentioned... a deal that gets a green light from the city council regarding the homeless.
Yeah, this was interesting. This was, they're trying to help women transition into something more stable, stable housing. They put this out to bid. They didn't get a lot of responses. They got a response from Chicanos por la Causa. And this is an Arizona-based group, very large group. They delayed making the decision to look into them and decided to go ahead and award them the contract. It's a contract for $1.8 million to provide housing navigation services to 50 women.
What does that mean? What does housing navigation services mean?
Well, they're going to try to help direct them to more stable housing, which is interesting because this contract, what we're doing is paying them $36,000 per woman that's going to provide assistance. And this group is not providing the housing. They have another contract with the city, and that's the Gateway Network, operating Gateway West, the city's largest shelter. So they're already operating a shelter, but it doesn't mean they're going to advise these women to go into the shelter. They're just going to advise them on how to find more stable housing. Very, very expensive. A lot of that money is going to the overhead of Chicanos por la Causa and not to actually assisting homeless women. So a lot of money, not a lot of anything to show for it. And that's right out of the gate. So it's a little bit frustrating. And one of the city councilors, Nicole Rogers, noted that it may have been more beneficial for the city to do this themselves, to hire people to provide this service, and they could do it at a lot less cost.
If they had the right people, do they have the right people?
That is a problem.
Yeah.
It's very difficult hiring these days in Albuquerque.
I know.
Yes. We do too.
Okay. So this next story we're going to cover actually made national. I know national. I don't know if it went beyond that. In regards to the Doña Anya County Judge Joel Cano recently arrested. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's a sad statement for New Mexico when we have a problem with the criminal activity here and the people that have come in. And some of these criminals are hardened criminals from other countries that have come here illegally. And to find that we've got a judge, Joel Cano, down in Doña Ana County, who was actually harboring some of these gang members from Venezuela, that's a hard, hard thing to take because...
Was it more than one?
Yes, there were a few of them, but they got the leader in particular, Christian Ortega Lopez, and he had ties to the gang, the Tren de Aragua, that we're all concerned about. He was arrested with the Homeland Security raid at the judge's house. And so we're thankful that the feds are looking into this if the state is not. And, you know, the state has said they're going to stand in the way and they're not going to help with this. And this is what we find when the feds come in, do the research, find that we've got hardened criminals here and they're being housed by a judge. The judge resigned shortly before the raid and the arrest. He obviously knew something was coming down the pike. And then when they came in, both the judge and his wife were arrested. It's a sad statement for New Mexico.
Yeah, looking at some of the notes that you prepared, is it suspects, right? Because he's going to be tried.
Yes.
The judge and the alleged gang member from Venezuela, or member of a Venezuelan, I don't know where he's from. Is he from Venezuela?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The judge, admitted to destroying one of Ortega Lopez's cell phones and charged with tampering with evidence. Any word? I haven't followed the story that closely. What's the why here. Why would you do that?
Well, and that's the big question of the day. You know, so Ortega Lopez was apparently doing some handiwork for the Canos at their home and didn't have a place to stay, and he took them in. But he obviously knew that there was a problem because he destroyed the cell phone and tampered with evidence. So he knew that things were not right, and he was trying to hide evidence. So, yes, he'll go through trial.
Yeah, you're right. It brings up the question, yeah, what was on that phone?
And the evidence that he tampered with.
Yeah, well,
because, you know, he's trying to cover himself as well as the criminals, because they're tied together, because the criminal's being housed in his home.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, I want to, we can finish more on this, because there's a little bit more. I know you have a quote from Alan Martinez, one of the state representatives. But I want to bring it back to the need for Jesus in our community, the need for the KLYT listener to live a life that is as an ambassador for Christ, live a righteous life that is covered by the blood of Christ. And that's why it's not us, it's him that we get our righteousness via. The change that we need to see on any of these issues, the crime, which, you know, is involved here, whether it's with the gang member and the crimes he's committed, and the judge and the crimes he and I guess his wife has also been arrested. I don't know if she's been charged, but it needs to start at home. And if you don't know Jesus, let me aim you at a website where you can find out more, calvarynm.church. And whether it's Calvary or another Christ-centered church in Albuquerque, we'd encourage you to find a place to get involved. And there's healing. The only way we're going to see real change is for the body of Christ to have an impact in this community. And I almost interrupt what we're talking about to go there. However, I think there has to be a why are we talking about these things? Well, to bring to light that there's things happening here that shouldn't be happening, and we should be salt and light where we are and lovingly, confidently share the truth with others. And if people are getting in the Word and building a relationship with Christ, we're going to see changed lives and changed communities.
Yes. And on the way over here, I was listening to a discussion about forgiveness, and you can be forgiven, whether you are the criminal or you're harboring the criminal or trying to help or whatever.
Yeah, there is
a path forward.
There's redemption. There's hope.
Yes.
So I teased with State Representative Alan Martinez, who's done a lot of great work for our community.
He really has.
But what did he have to say?
Well, to quote him from the New Mexico Sun, he said, "When a sitting New Mexico judge is arrested for harboring a violent gang member, it's not just a scandal. It's a symptom of a much deeper problem. The corruption, lawlessness, and misplaced priorities rotting our institutions from the inside out."
There you go. Our institutions need Jesus.
Yes.
I'm guessing that on your website, this will be found at, is it on both websites?
It's on New Mexico Business Coalition.
Okay, that's nmbizcoalition.org. You can go find out more about that article found in the New Mexico Sun. We're actually about 5 minutes away from a break. Do we have time to press on?
Well, I just will point out, if you want to get our emails, because this will be in an upcoming New Mexico Business Coalition email, you can sign up for those for free on our website at nmbizcoalition.org. And then you'll get this information with the links to additional information on stories that we're following. Why is this a business issue? Well, if we don't have a good legal system, then we really don't have anything. And so,
yeah.
The judges are very important, and we look at those closely in elections, as well as how are they performing outside of elections when they're in office. So it's very important to the business climate, which is important to every New Mexican.
And New Mexico Business Coalition is a not-for-profit agency organization. And on their website, you'll find a place if you look at all the work they're doing and you're like, man, I want to support this. Well, you can do that. Find the details on the website at nmbizcoalition.org. Okay, let's go. We'll take a break and come back and look at some of the things our legislators have been up to and more when we come back. We'll be back after this on ABQ Connect. All right, in studio with Carla Sontag from the New Mexico Business. This is our final segment. Man, show's gone. Yeah, show's gone. So I'm going to actually just throw it to you, Carla, because I know before the end of this, we'll want to make sure people are aware of the things going on with specifically the New Mexico Business Coalition or Better Together New Mexico, how to get involved more. But before we get there, well, actually, I'll do this real quick in case we don't. BetterTogetherNewMexico.org. You can go to the website and find out more. And NMBIZCoalition.org are the two websites to find out more. But so what's going on with some of the legislators here in New Mexico pushing to get more money for early childhood education and to fund K through 12 more money? Which yeah. before, yes. And I want to hear from you, but first thing I think is, okay, if you look at how much is being spent per child in New Mexico compared to other states that have a much more, they seem to be much more effective with the use of their money because their test scores are much higher than
ours. Graduation rates are higher.
Yeah. So, yeah. More of something that doesn't work doesn't sound, I mean.
That's exactly right. You know, it's the definition of insanity.
Right, right.
You keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And what we do in New Mexico.
Without a different turnout.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We continue to throw more money in it. We continue to bemoan the fact that our kids cannot read. They can't do arithmetic. They can't write complete sentences. That's our future workforce. That's why the Business Coalition and others care about this. It's the future for our children as well.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, we've got the new ratings that came out from the National Assessment of Educational Progress, and that is the nation's report card for schools. It's federally administered, so it is fair to all states across the board. They use the same criteria. It's just like when we look at rich states, poor states. They don't single anybody out and try to make them look bad. New Mexico does that for itself. We are 51st because now they include Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. in most of the ratings. If they don't include D.C., we're 50th. And it's just a sad place to be when there are other things that we could be doing. I did a little bit of a comparison with Louisiana in particular. Louisiana and New Mexico used to go back and forth, 49, 50, 50, 49.
Seems like New Mexico, Mississippi, Louisiana.
Right.
Pretty regular.
Well, Louisiana finally decided they'd had enough of that and they were going to change things. And they did. They have shot up in a very short time. They're now 32nd overall. They're 16th in the nation in fourth grade reading. That is a huge shift.
Now to me, a possible solution is simple. You reach out to Louisiana, find out who oversaw the changes, get them to come here and consult and implement the changes and see if it works.
Right. Well,
I mean, how hard is that?
Yeah, we've also been looking at, in the past, we've looked at Utah and Texas because their funding is a lot less than ours. So look at the funding between New Mexico and Louisiana, and we're much higher in what we're paying per student. And our results are not good and they're not getting any better. And, you know, the sad thing is we've got legislators that will defend this mess and say, well, yeah, but we're doing better than we did last year. Well, how do you figure that if we're still 50th or 51st?
Right.
We're not getting any better by other people's standards, and we can say ourselves whatever we want. We can make up numbers and make up ratings. Doesn't change the fact that our poor kids, they cannot read. They can't write a full sentence. They're not prepared to be workers and to provide for themselves and their families. We got to make changes.
Yeah, and we started this conversation at the beginning of the hour with the upcoming, now we're not talking about New Mexico, we're talking about Albuquerque election coming up, but Albuquerque is a big part of that. And it'd be interesting to see what some of these upcoming candidates, whether mayoral or, you know, we have school board or...
And city council is also running this
time. Yeah. Yeah. What are they, you know, what suggestions do they have as far as, you know, helping to start, you know, you got, I know it's a ship and a ship turns slowly, but you got to see it start turning.
That's right. And so there's three main things that Louisiana did that we could do. They put in effective literacy reforms, and they used a phonics-based curricula for the teachers training the students, and it has paid big dividends.
You know, I want to mention an organization that's available because, you know, part of the problem with literacy is when the parents can't read, how do they help their kids?
Right.
And, you know, I know a lot of people are sending their kids to public schools or private schools or whatever schools. Regardless where your kids are going, it's ultimately your responsibility as a parent to make sure they're getting the education that they need.
Right.
And you could say that to someone, and, you know, there's a good chance that they're not going to go, I can't read. Read West is an organization. It's actually up in Rio Rancho. But if you live in Albuquerque and the area, it's available to you. And if you go to our website at klyt.fm, on the top of the page, you'll see community. Just click on organizations, Read West, click on the link, or you can just go to readwest.org. I don't care how you get there. But not only do they help with reading literacy, but they help with, you know, computer literacy, paying bills, you know, how to run a household, you know. And these are areas, if there's someone that needs that kind of assistance, there it is, readwest.org. Just another one of the great nonprofit organizations we have, like Better Together New Mexico and
right.
New Mexico Business Coalition, come on the show regularly. And they do, there's so many places outside of the government that are doing great things to really try to make our community be a better place.
And we find the need, and that's why these groups start, because government's not taking care of what we would like to see them taking care of. Another big thing that Louisiana did that New Mexico absolutely refuses to do, and that's to enforce accountability measures. Our teachers union will have none of that.
What kind of accountability?
Well, that the students are meeting certain criteria as they progress. Now, some students, if they are handicapped in whatever way, where they're not able to progress, that is not held against the teacher. But if you have a classroom of 30 able-bodied children, and they make no difference between the start of the year and the end of the year, then something is not happening that should be happening in the interim when you've got a whole school year. And so we, right now in New Mexico, we have a budget of $4.7 billion. Our teachers are paid more than they are paid in Texas and many of the surrounding states, but they have no accountability. And so if in your job, my job, we have accountability. If we're not doing what needs to be done, we can be replaced.
Right.
And we should be.
Right. You know, I manage a radio station, and you have a staff that has to get what has to get done in order for a broadcast to happen. I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, Tayshawn and the quality work he does to make that happen. If he doesn't, it actually is a reflection on my ability to equip him to do the job he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I'm held accountable.
Right.
We need to. Which, by the way, let me just reiterate, he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, but that's the way that it should be. There should be accountability. And again, looking at Louisiana, they spend $13,760 per pupil. We spend $14,687, and we're not getting those results. Texas probably spends about 75% or less what New Mexico does per student, and what they're accomplishing is much greater.
So, do we have any specific information about what kind of accountability is happening in those states that isn't happening here? I mean, do teachers need to have a certain level of success with how their students perform in order to continue?
There's a lot of things that teachers go through. For example, they've got to have certain training. They've got to have continuing education where they're not growing stagnant in their role. And then they've got to have measures of accountability for how students are progressing with them. And the teachers are evaluated a lot of times either by administration or by other teachers. And so there's a lot of different measures. So there isn't one single thing that's going to cause a teacher to get fired. But in New Mexico, we have none of that. None of that. And we have increased our educational spending by 56%. 56% over just the last few years. And yet nothing has changed on our children's performance.
Okay. So if I'm the listener out there, I'm like, okay, cool story. What do I need to do to help make a change?
Well, you've got to be engaged in the upcoming elections for the school board, for one thing, because they have some say over that. But you also need to be engaged in the legislative races because they're the ones that fund the programs and define the programs.
Okay. About 2 minutes. I want to make sure you know that. So we're covering anything else you want to touch on before.
Well, I just want, that's why Steve and I frequently talk about how important the elections are. The mayor's race coming up, we have school board and city council. All of these people have a direct or indirect impact on your children.
Yeah, for those of you that look at the ballot and go, oh, school board, that is as important as anything on the ballot.
Those people are actually looking at the curriculum and the books that are in the libraries, and our children are being exposed to straight-out pornography.
Yeah.
And that is up to the school board. And so whether you have children in school or not, whether or not you have children, that is our future. And we need to be guarding their well-being.
Okay. Now remind people, I'll give the websites and about the newsletter. The website is bettertogethernewmexico.org or NMBIZ, that's NMBizCoalition.org. And a newsletter they can get regularly to keep updated on things like this that we covered today.
On both sites and on Better Together New Mexico, spell out New Mexico, or you can call our office for help with either of those at 505-836-4223.
All right. We'll look forward to another time next month, right? We'll do this again. And maybe, you know, we'll maybe revisit the 11 candidates and see how that attrition rate is going. I'm going to read through these as quick as I can so you can look them up online. See if they do have a website. You can find out more. Eddie Varela, Darren White, Tim Keller, Luis Sanchez, or Louis. I call him Louis. Mm-hmm. Alpana Adair, Alexander Ubias and Deo Herrick, all under the public finance qualifying donations and under privately. It's Mailing Armijo, Patrick Seiss, Brian Feher, Feijer, and Daniel Chavez. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect. Tomorrow, Rio Grande Foundation with Paul Gessing on the light.